Hi, it's Jason Chaloux, the pastor at Grace and Truth, and I want to welcome you to week 5 of our sermon series, Empowered to Pray. Now, through the first 4 weeks, we focused on preparing ourselves to pray. And now in this section, we'll be focusing on making requests of God while we pray. Now, this lesson is entitled Praying for Forgiveness, and it's actually consisting of two prayers from Luke 23, one by Jesus and another to Jesus. Right, so we're empowered to pray, right? We're working our way through this sermon series, and we've been, this is week 5, goodness. And so the first bunch of weeks, we've talked about preparation. You know, sometimes like you just have to pray, like somebody gives you a request or something's going on and you just have to jump right into it. But more often than not, we have time that we could gather our thoughts and that we could prepare ourselves to pray. We talked about gathering information, right? Trying to be as well informed as we can before we pray. We talked about preparing our hearts, understanding that we're going into the presence of God and we want to prepare our hearts for that. We talked about confessing our sins. You know, the people who can be in the presence of the Lord are those with clean hands and pure hearts, those who have confessed their sins and been forgiven. And so we do that. And then we talked last week about humbling ourselves, that it's only because of Jesus that we have even any ability to speak to God. And so we don't go into the presence of God under any pretense other than we're there because of Jesus. And we're there because of what he did for us. And so we talk about prepared and being prepared. And I'm hoping that this is doing something for you because it's absolutely changing my prayer life. I'm finding it's taking a lot longer to pray, which is all right. Like, but it's taking a lot longer, the preparation and getting there. And I'm praying, like I said before, I'm praying for maybe less people each day, but I like to think I'm praying better and more focused. And so I'm excited about where we've been, and I'm excited about where we're going. For these next couple weeks, we're going to talk about making requests. So we prepare ourselves to pray, and then when we actually pray, what sort of things can we pray for? What sort of things should we pray for? And so we're going to start today by praying for forgiveness. And so from the book here, the quote is, being empowered to pray means feeling the relief of God's forgiveness and the joy of forgiving others. So I know we already talked about confession a couple weeks ago. With confession comes forgiveness, comes God's forgiveness. But we want to get into what is forgiveness, and it's a tough thing to define. Everybody kind of has a different idea, I think, of what it means to forgive or what forgiveness is. So I'm going to give you just a short definition that I kind of cobbled together here. And forgiveness is to give up your right to payback or to retribution or to getting even. Maybe revenge is one way to put that. But revenge sounds bad because it's not always like that. Because the thing is there is an innate sense of justice that's built into each one of us. We get upset when things go the wrong way, when things go the way they shouldn't. You know, nobody has to teach kids that if there's 2 kids and there's 4 pieces of candy, and the first kid takes 3 pieces and the other one only gets 1, that there's something wrong with that. Now, we blame that on selfishness, and maybe to some extent it's there, but there's this innate sense of there should be 2 and 2, there should be even, there should be balanced, right? And we get angry when things don't go the right way or when somebody does something to us. Right, so let's just say by some odd chance Greg gets fed up with me, and it's gonna happen one day, but it hasn't happened yet.
This is a perfect illustration.
This is actually a really good illustration.
14 years with Jags.
Let's say that he's had enough, and he punches me in the face, which I would deserve by all accounts, right? So, in me, I would want to hit Greg back. Right, there's just a sense of justice. I've been hit. I want to hit back. That's what we do. That's kind of there. For me to forgive Greg is for me to say, you know what, I'm not going to hit Greg back. Yes, he deserves it, but I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to turn away and walk away from that, right? Because this is it's a godly thing in us to want justice. You know, I'm thinking about all the things that are going on in the world, all these awful bombings and other things that are going on. And, you know, God's heart breaks for this stuff too. And not only does it break, God gets angry about this stuff as well. And God's going to get his turn. I believe that. And I believe that vengeance is his, right? This is from Romans 12. As it says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And so while it might be a reflex in us and a legitimate reflex to be angry about an injustice or to want payback or to want revenge, it's not our job. And it's not our duty. That's God's responsibility to make sure things work out like that. And so to forgive is to give up your right to pay somebody back for what they've done to you. So the feeling the need for payback is not a wrong thing, but to not let go of that would be, right? So you have this thing, so Greg punches me, right? And I'm angry about this. I have two things I can do with that. That I can let it go, which is to forgive. I can leave it in God's hands. I can let God deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. And I can let it go out of my mind, out of my system. Or I can do the other thing, which is the one we do more often than not, and that's hold on to it. Now, holding on to anger leads to bitterness. I want to tell you a couple things about bitterness before we go. I'm going to come back to forgiveness, right? But I want to talk about bitterness because you need to know where we're trying to get away from. And the first thing here is that bitterness is going to, it'll take over your thoughts and emotions. All of them. All the time. Bitterness colors, it clouds everything. It just comes to the forefront of our mind. I don't know what the deal is with it, but it does. It just colors everything we do. So I'm going to make a reference to the movie Happy Gilmore. I'm hoping I'm not going to get in trouble for doing this. But so in Happy Gilmore, Adam Sandler's a hockey player turned golfer. It's ridiculous. It's a great movie. It's probably on Comedy Central this afternoon because it's on nonstop. So there's a part in the movie where he's playing golf with Bob Barker. Like, you know, Price is Right, Bob Barker. And they get into a fist fight, like a serious fist fight. And Adam Sandler gets beat up by old man Bob Barker, and it's hilarious. But there's the next scene is the best bit, because he's in a Subway restaurant, and he's eating a sandwich, he's enjoying a sandwich, right? But there's this seething anger against Bob Barker. And he just goes, I hate that Bob Barker. Like, right? And it comes out of nowhere, like while he's eating a sandwich, right? But that's what bitterness does. Like, it gets in us, and it clouds our minds and our emotions, and it comes to the forefront of everything we do. And it takes over, right? And here's the thing, it takes over, but then bitterness, it'll ruin all of your relationships. Because of that clouding, because of that getting in the way and getting in front of your thoughts and emotions, it'll ruin all of your relationships. Do me a favor, go to the book of Hebrews if you don't mind. I'm going to go to chapter 12. I'll just read it. We'll read a couple verses here. This is one of those sermons where I can preach a lot from experience here. So Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15 says, make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I love this bitter root. Right? Make sure no bitter root. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. In my neighborhood, there's a lot of trees that were planted when the neighborhood was new in the late 70s. And so some of these trees have grown pretty impressive roots because some of them are pretty far away from the street and the sidewalk. But if you go walking through my neighborhood, there's many, many, many bits of sidewalk that are just destroyed by the roots of these trees. Because that nice, level, even, thick concrete gets a good tree root growing underneath it, and it starts pushing and pushing and pushing, and next thing you know, the concrete's rising, and it's splitting, and not just at the seams, but in the middle part, right? And that's what bitterness does to us and to our relationships. If it takes root and it grows into something else, it begins to push that sidewalk out and crack and destroy everything. And so bitterness, if you don't get rid of it, bitterness will ruin all of your relationships. But most importantly, it'll ruin your relationship with God. So bitterness is sin. It's quite a bit throughout the Bible that bitterness is sin. Not letting things go. Not letting anger, not dealing with anger properly. And we know that sin keeps us separate from God. You know, I always use the example that every time we sin, we're putting a brick in a wall between us and God. The beautiful thing is when we confess those sins, that brick is removed. But let's take this root analogy down a little further. and let that bitterness grow into a big giant tree, right? And not only is it destroying the sidewalk, it's blocking your view and keeping you separate from God. Bitterness is dangerous. It is deadly. It will ruin your relationships. It'll ruin your relationship with God. But we said it was one of two choices. So it's not all bad, right? It doesn't all have to be bitterness. Because when we experience injustice, when we experience anger, we have the other choice, which is to let it go and to forgive. So forgiveness, right? To give up your right to payback. Give up what's owed, what you feel is owed to you, what's owed to you in retribution or payback. A couple things that we need to know about forgiveness, and we're going to get to Jesus in a minute. But the first thing you need to know is that forgiveness is a choice. Now, it's not an emotion. It's like love. Love, love. There is an emotion of love, but love is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice, and specifically, forgiveness is your choice. Greg punches me in the face. I can choose to forgive Greg, whether Greg is sorry about what he did or not. Whether or not Greg asked me to forgive him. I can and have to choose to forgive him, to let that go. It has nothing to do with the other person, whether they deserve retribution or whether they've asked for forgiveness or they want it, or even whether they accept your forgiveness. Your choice is to forgive. And it's your choice and only your choice. And then to get to where we're going, prayer is a choice. And so I hadn't thought about this. I told you these sermons are great because they're wrecking me in a good way, and they're changing my life and my prayer life. And I hadn't thought of this idea. We forgive. I know about forgiving. Sometimes forgiving someone is going to mean going to a person and forgiving them. Sometimes the situation might not permit that being the case, and you're simply just going to let it go. But then we go and we pray and we take that situation to God. And when we turn the situation over to God, we can do a couple things. We can ask God for the strength to forgive. Because here's one of the beautiful things about God, is he never gives us these impossible seeming tasks without giving us the strength and the power to do them. He said, go in all the world and make disciples of all people, right? But he didn't say, go figure it out. He said, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit and help you do it. You know, he doesn't give us these impossible tasks of living holy lives and say, go off by yourself and figure it out. He gives us the church and each other, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to figure it out. And so he doesn't say, forgive your enemies, forgive people, and then say, go figure it out and do it on your own power, your own strength. He gives us the strength to do so. But here's the thing that hadn't occurred to me. What about asking God to forgive that person? What about not just forgiving yourself and letting go, but asking God to forgive that person's debt for what they've done? Turn the situation over to God in prayer. We pray as we pray. We're praying, yes, we're praying for our forgiveness. We've talked about confession already. But we're talking about forgiving others, asking for the strength to forgive, but then asking God to forgive people for what they've done to you. Now, here's the last thing I want to say about this little section here. That their response, it's going to be their choice. And someone's behavior may or may not change. You might go to somebody and say, hey, you're doing this to me. It's not right. It's not fair. I forgive you. And they may not opt to change what they're doing. But you still forgive, and you still pray, and you still ask God to forgive them. Now, let's talk for a second about forgiving versus forgetting. Because everybody always says forgive and forget, right? Anybody ever had any luck with that? Anybody have any luck with forgetting what somebody's done to you? Man, it certainly doesn't happen naturally, right? It's not what we do. And that sort of thing, you know, the devil likes to remind us of all kinds of stuff. He likes to remind us of the stupid things that we've done in the past. But he also really likes to remind us of the things that people have done to us. And so things you might have let go and forgiven, the devil's going to keep bringing back, right? So forgetting is not really the thing here. Because here's the idea. We're to forgive. But I don't know that we're to forget. Because there are situations where you can forgive somebody for what they've done, but God is not asking you to stay in a bad situation or a dangerous situation. I think specifically of abusive marriages. I don't believe in any way God is asking you to hang around in that. God is asking you to try to reconcile and to try to work it out. You know, as we know, divorce is the absolute last option in any marriage. But God is not asking you to forgive and act like it never happened if somebody's abusing you. Maybe you have to walk away from somebody. You know, if Greg starts punching me in the face, we're going to separate. Like, we're not going to keep hanging out. That's just not, that wouldn't be wise for either one of us to be in that situation. And so we forgive. And the forgetting is not holding the anger, not holding that need for retribution. But it's not necessarily acting like it didn't happen and continuing to put yourself in a situation where it could happen again and it could happen again and it could happen again. I don't believe that's what God has for us. So when we want an example, right, because I hate this. We're already into the second page of my notes, and we've used one scripture. That's not fair. I don't preach like that normally. So we want an example. We want to look to Jesus, right? We always want to look to Jesus. So do me a favor, go to Luke 23. This is where we're going to camp out for most of our rest of our time here. When we're doing the Bible study over at Parkview, one of the cool things there has been to get people to start reading the Bible, like for themselves. You know, really, just two tables full of people who most of them have never picked up a Bible, been in churches, but never read the Bible. And so when we go to Luke, we always have, like this past week, we were in Mark, because we've been in Mark for a couple of months, and I had a couple other scriptures to go to, Isaiah and some other places. And so when I got there early, we spent time showing them how to find Isaiah, how to find Jeremiah. Because it's so important to know where this stuff is, and it's important to be able to turn. As much as I love apps, and I love being able to pull stuff up right away, I just something about a physical copy of the Bible. So we're going to read, we're going to start verse 33 here in chapter 23. We're going to make our way to 43, but as we always do, we're going to do this a little bit at a time and make our way through. So the little intro sentence here. In verse 33, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. So this is the crucifixion of Jesus here, right? And so they came to the place called the Skull and they crucified him there. And then Jesus prays. And now the prayers that we've looked at so far have all had this great formula of saying thank you, of worshiping God, of saying I'm sorry, of confessing sins. And then saying, please, making requests of God, right? This is a simple one-sentence prayer from Jesus, and it's beautiful. In verse 34, his prayer is this: Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus knew that forgiveness was his choice, was a choice, and not just a choice, but his choice. So he's asking for forgiveness. Now, he's just been nailed to a cross. But before that, he's been beaten within an inch of his life. And before that, he was subject to a trial, using the biggest air quotes you can use, because it was a joke. And before that, he was sold out by his friends and left by all of his friends. And his prayer was not, God, smite them all. He didn't call down all the legions of angels that were at his disposal. His prayer was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they were doing. He knew forgiveness was his choice, and he knew that prayer was his choice. So he's setting an example for us, right? Now let's look at the results at the tail end of that verse there. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Starting at verse 35, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. And the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. Now one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Jesus chooses to forgive, chooses to pray. And what does he get for it? They divide up his clothes by casting lots. They stood by. They sneered at him. They mocked him. They hurled insults at him. The result wasn't in Jesus' hands. People had the choice to accept or reject his forgiveness. Their response was their choice. But Jesus forgave. And he prayed that God would forgive them as well. So we're getting a two for one today because we got two prayers in this section here. Because there's two criminals, right? Jesus is crucified and there's a criminal on his right and on his left. And the one's hurling insults at him. But then the other one kind of comes around. Let's pick this up in verse 40. It says, the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now again, we don't have thank you, I'm sorry, and please, and all these things. We have these little short one-sentence prayers. But how simple and how effective is this? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, the word forgive is nowhere in that sentence. But I believe this was a prayer of forgiveness. This was this man's way of asking. You know, he's hanging on the cross. He doesn't have the book of Romans to sit there and read and figure out what it all means. To figure out what Jesus was doing, who he was, and how all this worked out. He prayed what he knew at the time. And he had come to the realization as to who Jesus was. And so he simply prayed, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. So the one criminal hurled insults, and this one came around. It was his way of asking for forgiveness. And then Jesus answers him here in verse 43. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. This criminal asked for forgiveness in his own way, in his own simple way. And Jesus forgives. And so we've had two types of forgiveness here so far. We've had where Jesus forgave others for what they had done to him and asked God to forgive others for what they had done to him. And then we have this man who was forgiven by God for what he had done. And so there's two types of forgiveness, that God's forgiveness of us. And when I talk about forgiveness, I always talk big picture and little picture. I think there's two kind of subcategories there. You know, when you come to know Jesus, your sins are forgiven. The things you've done up to that point are gone, and you're forgiven, and they're wiped away. And the things that you've confessed after that point are forgiven when you confess them. But in the big picture, the things that you do, the sins you commit, separate you from God. But they don't keep you separate in the eternal sense in the way that all the sins did before you came to know God. Is that, I'm trying to make sense here. In the big picture, we sin, we still sin. We're being sanctified, we're working our way towards being made like God. We're being made like God. But in the big picture, God has forgiven us. And then that little picture is that moment by moment, confessing sins and having the bricks removed from the wall. Big picture and little picture, God forgives us. And then that other forgiveness is our forgiveness of others. And here's the thing, our forgiveness of others flows out of God's forgiveness for us. You know, we love because God first loved us. And we forgive and we can forgive because God has first forgiven us. Do me a favor, go to Matthew chapter 6. It's a little bit right after the Lord's Prayer. We're going to start in verse 14. Example here. We're in chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Right? If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I've often thought this was a strange couple of sentences here. Seems kind of harsh. If you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. And then it clicked. That forgiving others, it's the proof that we understand our own forgiveness. That if we understand the depth of what God has done for us, if we understand the forgiveness that God has offered us, then we can in turn forgive others. If we aren't willing to let go of what somebody's done to us and we aren't willing to forgive somebody, then do we truly understand how much we're forgiven? Do we really understand what God has done for us, what Jesus did for us? I think forgiving others is the proof that we understand our own forgiveness. And so as we look to God and we remember what he's done for us and how much he's forgiven us, then the ability and even the desire to forgive others flows from that. Got just one more place for you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. You know, there's so many times in the New Testament where they're talking, and specifically Paul is talking about how to live as a Christian and how to live as a church and a group of believers. And you'd be amazed at how often forgiveness shows up in these lists and in these instructions that he's given. So we're in Colossians 3. Let's do verses 12 to 14. Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." And I think that's the secret to all of this. To understanding how much the Lord has forgiven you. And then allow that to flow in the forgiveness for others. So we always ask the question, what do we need to do? What sort of things can we go do this week? First thing you can do is you can choose to forgive. Somebody somewhere has done something to you. It's a guarantee. Somebody somewhere has done something wrong. And you got two choices: to hold on to it and get bitter about it, or you can let it go and you can forgive. Like I said before, maybe sometimes that's just, you know, in your mind and in your spirit, letting that go. It may be like in real life, like you actually have to go to somebody and to forgive. I would, you know, if that's a possibility, I would recommend that. I think there's something very cleansing and healing about that. But you have to choose to do the forgiving. And then you have to choose to pray. And when we pray, we ask for the strength to forgive. Because again, we're not being asked to do this monumental task on our own. God will give us the strength to do it. And then we ask God to forgive them. And so choose to forgive and choose to pray. Choose to ask God to forgive the person that's done something to you. Choose to ask God to give you the strength to deal with the things that need to go. And you know, we always talk about when temptation comes around. And the example that was always given to us was that it's like a conveyor belt, right? Temptation comes in, you put it on the belt and let it go. I modified it because it's a lazy river, because it's coming back around, right, as you get tempted. And bitterness and anger and the stuff that we hold on to is the same exact way. And so I prayed yesterday for God to forgive, and there was a lightness that came with that. I promise you that feeling is coming back around at some point, because the devil doesn't stop. So it'll be my choice to put it back in the river on one of those rafts and push it back down again. And if I need to go back to God for strength, then I'll have to do that. But it comes back around, we put it in a river, we let it go. We just keep it's a cycle, we keep doing this. And so we choose to forgive, we choose to pray, and then we let God handle the results. I don't know about you, but I kind of like to be in control of things. And I kind of like to see results when I do stuff. And there are times where I would like to see God strike vengeance, right? But that's God's deal, not mine. How and when he does what he does is up to him. But if we want to be empowered to pray, we've done our job, we've prepared well, and we've confessed our sins, but we have bitterness and unforgiveness towards somebody else or some situation or something else in our hearts, then we're blocking ourselves from God. And we're blocking our prayers from being heard, and we're blocking just ourselves from being able to pray the things that we need to pray. And so we talked about confession and confessing our own sins to God, and that's an important thing. Today we're talking about forgiveness, about forgiving others, and asking God for the strength to do so, and asking God to forgive them as well. Hi, it's Pastor Jason again. I just wanted to take a few moments to tell you a little bit about our church. You can find us on the web at graceandtruthcommunitychurch.com or at facebook.com/graceandtruthcc. If you wanted to come worship with us in the real world, we meet on Sunday mornings at New Life Community Center, which is located at 210 Leeway in Bel Air, Maryland. We meet at 9:30 a.m. for coffee and at 10 a.m. for worship. All are welcome. Now go this week in the grace of the Lord Jesus, in the love of God the Father, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Have a great week. Amen and amen.